Third hour, Darren Donick and Chase on this Thursday afternoon. Don't forget our weekly chat with Elliot Freeman from Sportsnet coming up in the fourth and final hour. But we start this hour by heading up to Edmonton. We bring in Predators General Manager David Poile. He now joins us. David, I'm not going to say how you doing. That's traditionally what I say. You're probably not doing as good as other times because there's an important game tomorrow. With that being said, for the Predators to keep this series alive and push it to Sunday in a Game 5, I have to believe putting together that first line together again that we were so accustomed to over the years and the way they've produced in the first three games has to be pleasing to your eyes.
Yeah, that's one of many things that's pleasing, really. I think we've actually, in a lot of areas, played really, really well. But the scoreboard is what counts, and we just are on the wrong side of it right now. But the play of our first line certainly is huge. I mean, they seem to be a threat almost every time they're on the ice, every shift. Ryan Johansson is really taking his game up and to a new level, and I really think Phoenix is having a hard time, you know, matching up when we put those guys on. Arvey's played the best he's played all year long, and Phillip is just a powerful guy right now, and they're hard to contain, and kind of knocking wood, they scored every game so far, and hopefully that will continue when we play tomorrow.
How tough is it? John Hines was asked this after yesterday's game, where you like so much of yesterday's game. You know, you could say well over two periods. You have 45 minutes of that 60 minutes you really like, but unfortunately the scoreboard doesn't dictate you getting rewarded for saying all that, and you lose the game and now are behind 2-1. How tough is it to see so much that you like but know that you didn't get the result you were looking for?
Well, you know, it's sort of the good news, bad news to everything. We feel really good about a lot of individuals and feel good about our team play, but you know, we haven't come out on the right end out of two or three games. And watching this whole tournament, both from the games in Toronto and the games that we get to go to here, I mean, it's three games a day, and I'm telling you that the way the games are going and the outcomes are, I'm almost the opposite of what I think, even during the game. I mean, you know, the late game last night, Edmonton scored a late goal in the second period to take a 3-2 lead, and they killed off like six penalties, and it was just like, you know, Chicago just didn't have a chance.
Yep.
And Chicago gets two goals in the last 5 minutes of the third period, both sort of seeing eye shots that get deflected, and all of a sudden they get the 2-1 lead. So it's been tough. Pittsburgh's playing Montreal, you know, the team that everybody thinks has a really good chance of competing for the Stanley Cup, and they're down 2-1. So, you know, it's just different, you know, after being off for 4 months, and some of these teams are healthier. And specifically in our series, I mean, Darcy Kuemper, the goaltender, if you're going to give an MVP for our series right now, he would be the one. I mean, yesterday we really sort of threw the kitchen sink at him in the first period. I think the shots were, I don't know, 15-3 or something at one point. And they get a tip-in goal. So, again, we got to fight through that. I mean, we're the more experienced team. Again, I just think if we stick to what we're doing, I don't think we have to make too many changes. Obviously, we got to find a way to maybe pick up a couple of rebounds to get a couple of goals on Kuemper. But I hate being in this position, being down, you know, 2-1. But I really have a lot of confidence that our guys can certainly come back and win two games, and we'll just see what happens tomorrow. I think we'll play for sure our best game, and I really believe that we can win that game.
You had so many good things to say about the top line, rightfully so. What would you like to see more out of the second line, production-wise, moving forward?
Well, I think you're hitting the nail on the head, production-wise, and it's really unfortunate. I mean, we get that goal Turris scores in the second period. It's 2-1. I mean, it really feels like that was been our game. I mean, if we were going to win that game 2-1 or 3-1, because that would have changed the whole thing, and, you know, an offside disallowed goals, you know, turned the whole game around. So and then Turris hit the post later in the period. So it's coming, but again, we get graded on, just like we're talking now, we get graded on the wins, it's not horseshoes, it's not how close you are. And we certainly need the second line to be better. I mean, Duchesne is a big time scorer. Turris has been a big time scorer. Granlund's been a leading scorer in Minnesota. and if they stay together, maybe John Hines isn't going to change them up a little bit. They've got to produce, because that's, you know, in a kind of our game plan, we think if we could roll four lines, that could be the difference in winning or losing. Because as you said earlier, the first line is playing great. Our fourth line with Yarncroft, Sissons, and Watson has really been really good. And we've just got to get some production from the second line. It's probably as simple as that.
David Poile is with us, Predators general manager. David, you've always said, you know, you defer to your coaches to make the lineup changes as needed. So what are the conversations like as you guys do your evaluation from where you sit? Do you collaborate much with them, or is it more in their hands?
A little bit of a combination. I mean, we met as a group last night after the game back at the hotel, and we went over everything from what we saw upstairs. And John's always good at that, asking us, "What did you see from upstairs?" And put forward our thoughts and suggestions. I spoke with John later last night before we went to bed, just to see what, after they had reviewed the game and watched it, whether he had any different thoughts or anything that was brought up in our meeting that he felt would be worthwhile to put forward to the players, or any changes to make. I met with him this morning again, just to go over his thought process. So, you know, we're in total communication, and I think everybody's getting to have their input. But to me, the coach has got to play who he thinks is going to get us that win on Friday. So, I mean, he has the green light from me to make any changes, and I totally support him and what he wants to do.
David Poile is with us, and we've for years have talked to you about Pekka Rinne at goal, but Juuse Saros has been in through the first three games. What's been your evaluation of him in his early playoff career?
I think he's been good. I don't think he's the reason why we are where we are. The third goal yesterday afternoon was probably one on the power play that he'd like to have back, and that kind of ended the game. So that was not perfect. But overall, I think he's played well, but he's going to have to play even better, because he's got to line up with Kemper on the other side. I mean, I know that he doesn't have anything to do with what Kemper does or doesn't do, but I'm kind of feeling that the game tomorrow should be one of those 2-1 type of a game. And so we're going to need solid goaltending from whether it's Juice plays or whether Pekka gets his opportunity. But I think they'll both be good, whoever we put in there.
You talked about the second line, but Duchesne specifically, what do you think his struggles are and why the production just hasn't quite gotten there yet at this point?
Well, obviously, you know, if we knew that and he knew that, I think things would be different. I know the coaches have certainly been talking to him and, you know, working with him, and it's just in the power play, he seems to be very, very good in the power play. You know, really moving the puck around well, and we're having some success in that. But on 5-on-5, where we need to make a difference, it hasn't happened. I guess you could say players go through these situations, and clearly I don't want to make any excuses for him or any other player. I mean, he has to play better. That's the bottom line right now. Right now, it's his play is not as good as it has to be or should be, and he should be a difference maker in this series, and he's going to get that opportunity on Friday to do that.
David, we know your time is limited, so we've got to let you run. We do appreciate the visit, and don't think about coming back to Nashville anytime soon. We need you to stay in Edmonton for a while.
All right, we're going to get it done on Friday. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, David. That is David Poile, Predators general manager, and we do appreciate him joining us. We'll come back and discuss a lot more about Game 4. What is our vibe for Game 4? David Poile feeling very good that this thing is going to get pushed to Game 5. We'll discuss maybe possible changes. We'll get into the Predators-Coyotes series. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Well, I think you're hitting the nail on the head production-wise, and it's really unfortunate. I mean, we get that the goal Turris scores in the second period, it's 2-1. I mean, it really feels like that was been our game. I mean, that we were going to win that game 2-1 or 3-1 because that would have changed the whole thing. And, you know, an offside disallowed goals, you know, turned the whole game around. So, and then Turris hit the post later in the period. So it's coming. But again, we get graded on, just like we're talking now, we get graded on the wins, not the, it's not horseshoes. It's not how close you are. And we certainly need the second line to be better. I mean, Duchesne is a big time scorer. Turris has been a big time scorer. Granlund's been a leading scorer in Minnesota. And if they stay together, maybe John Hines is thinking of changing them up a little bit. They've got to produce because that's, you know, in a kind of our game plan, we think if we could roll four lines, that could be the difference in winning it or losing. Because as you said earlier, the first line is playing great. Our fourth line with Yarncroft, Sissons, and Watson has really been really good. And we just got to get some production from the second line. It's probably as simple as that.
Predators General Manager David Poile joining us to start this hour. Very complimentary of the first line's play. Very complimentary of the fourth line's play. And very candid comments about what he's seen thus far. No surprise there. We've had hundreds and hundreds of conversations with David Poile over the years, so no surprise there. And then you just heard what he said about the second line. And look, horseshoes is a good reference, but Chase, another reference, good reference would be cornhole. It's not cornhole because you don't have to throw the bag through the hole. You can get rewarded for just being on the board. You know, and so it's not cornhole either. It's like you gotta get the bullseyes.
More people play cornhole than horseshoes too. I think that's a good reference, Darren. Thanks for putting into perspective that more people get more modern.
It is kind of
when's
a lost
the last
start,
time you
right?
played horseshoes.
I was just saying that's a good point. Like when's the last time anyone's played horseshoes? It's been a while.
It's been
right?
a while.
Years.
It's been a very long time. I have played horseshoes before, but
I would not want to play horseshoes with Chase. Like, get out of the way. Wear a helmet. Wear a helmet. Like, it's one thing for bags for cornhole, but horseshoes, throwing those? No, get out of the way.
Yeah, and you may not want to be holding a drink when Chase tosses
no.
the horseshoe. You know,
no.
If a beanbag hits you, that's one thing. But the horseshoe, you know, it could cause some spillage.
Especially glass. No good.
Yes, yes.
So
but
what
guys,
do we make of those
think,
comments?
Well, did you think too? It sounded like there's gonna be some consideration for lineup tweaks. I don't know if it'll be personnel. He commended the fourth line. I do wonder if there'll be a little switch, but I don't think it'll be major. It sounds to me like they're seeing what we talked about before. The numbers, there's a lot of good numbers here, but it's got to translate to results. It also sounded, Chase, when you asked about UC Saros. And I think you worded it well because you weren't like, are you going to change Coley's?
Yep.
You were just like, what do you think of Saros? And I'm seeing the same thing. He has not been 100% great, right? We know what UC Saros looks like when he is on fire. He's almost unstoppable, right? He makes saves. He's there before the puck is there. And you're like, how did he get there? It's unbelievable. He's not in that mode. So he's been good, but he has not been great. Darcy Kuemper has been great. And he used the example of the game, the goal that sort of put away the game yesterday, the power play goal. That's a goal that when UC Saros is locked in, he's got that one easy, right? He's got that easy, but he didn't get it. But it didn't sound like he was considering a change. Darren, did you pick up on that? It didn't sound like he was saying, well, we'll talk about it. We're going to decide. It seemed like we're just maybe reading in too much, but it seemed like they're going to stick with him based on what he was saying.
That's what I took from it. I thought it was interesting him talking about the meetings that they've been having behind the scenes, obviously after yesterday's game and then this morning, and then him giving the green light for John Hines saying, hey, you're the head coach. You go with what you think. You've got my full support. And I thought that was interesting.
That's how it should be.
You don't always get, you know, kind of how that dynamic works behind the scenes with a general manager and head coach. And I thought that was pretty interesting for him to talk about what they talked about, whether it was last night after the game back at the team hotel or this morning, and then saying, hey, in the end, John Hines has got to do what he feels is best for the team, and he has my support on that. Now we're going to find out what does John Hines thinks he needs to do. But, no, I did not pick up where I thought a change was coming that way. I just don't know what what you do. Like, everybody, you know, I know you don't gauge everything else. I'm just making an observation. We all watch social media. We all look at it. Like, so many people are like, you know, you got to get Austin Watson. It's like, what? Like, Austin Watson? You think Austin Watson is the reason they're behind 2-1 in the series?
I think he's playing well.
Right.
I think he's playing well.
Yeah, right. So, okay. So, you got to get Blackwell. Okay. So, you think that's the difference in the series? Come on. I don't know what you're watching there. Okay. So, other people have you know, you bring up Jared Tenorti. You know, I think it's okay to say that he hasn't had a great series. He's a third D pairing. He's killed off penalty minutes. He's a big body, big presence. He's delivered a lot of hits, like Austin Watson. So, okay. So, it's Dan Hamhuis and Yannick Weber. You think that's the difference in the series? I mean, I'm trying to figure out what are the moves that changes, you know, the fortunes of this series, changes the direction of this, how this series is being played. I don't know. Do you split up the second line? Do you move some people around?
Yeah.
I mean, I would, just me personally, I'll lead off with this conversation.
I think that's,
you guys,
more than
take
likely.
It. Okay, so you guys take it from where I go from here. If you're asking me personally in what I've seen in the second line, if you're asking me who I would evaluate as who's been the best player on that second line, I would say Kyle Turris has stood out more than the other two. And the natural reaction for people is that, well, slide Turris back down, let him center the fourth line, and, you know, like we've seen. I get that. But I would also say, so you want to slide him down when, me personally, and maybe you guys will disagree, I would identify his play as the best as what I've seen through three games.
I agree with that.
I think he's had some of the best chances, and I think we'd be having a completely different conversation if Turris's goal had counted. It was going to be a huge story, and David Poile said what I said earlier. I just felt like it was the Predators' game at that point. I think they win the game if that counts. It's oversimplifying. There was still a lot of time left, but that would have been such a huge goal at a timely moment. But we'll never know. And I agree with you, Darren. I think he's probably had the most chances. I think Mikhail Granlund is working extremely hard. You always see the work ethic with him. It hasn't translated to individual chances. If you look at that line, they have given up more shots than they've gotten. They've played in their own end more. But in terms of good chances, it's about even. And I think there's been a goal scored against them. They don't have a goal in the series at 5-on-5. Duchesne has an assist on a power play, and that's it. Right? All three of those guys are on the power play. But that's all the things to consider. I do think if there's a tweak, that might be what they look at. Maybe make one swap on that line. I don't think there's major changes that need to be made based on how the flow of the game is going. It's just finding a way to getting it done. But I think David Poile implied that that's the area. It's the second line. How do you get that second line with a breakthrough? He said it.
So I believe, you kind of hit on a lot of things, Darren, so let me kind of go through it. So I think for the lineup overall, I do believe that sometimes the conversation is, okay, they lost, so changes need to be made just to make changes, and that doesn't fix anything. One positive that I took away from that interview with David Poile is that you said, that he trusts John Hines. John Hines has the keys to the car, and David's going to let him drive the car. He's going to let him make those decisions, and I think it's very important when you, especially in a year when you make a coaching change because the car was off the road, that you give the new coach the keys and you say, all right, you do your thing. I trust you. Go after it, and let's talk, but, you know, I trust you to make those decisions, and that's what he's doing so far. As for the lineup, if you swap, you know, Austin Watson has played well, I agree, but that's the only piece that I think you could really say comes out if you were going to make a change, unless it's on the third D pairing, and Tenorti, as we've said, hasn't had a great series so far. Do you maybe in an elimination game look at a veteran like Hamhuis that has been in these situations before and go to him? That's a possibility as well. As for the goaltender, I don't believe that UC Saros has lost his job by any means, nor should he. I think he should stay in. The only reason that I could see them potentially making a change is from the psychological standpoint and from the fact of what we've talked about with Darcy Kuemper. Darcy Kuemper has stolen games for him and stolen some wins. We've seen Carey Price do that for the Canadians. Could Pecorine potentially do that with his experience for the Predators in a situation where you might need him to? That's the only reason that I would potentially look at a change.
And if Raanta was healthy, would they have made the switch for game three?
I think Raanta would have played yesterday.
I think there's a chance of that, too. Like, did Raanta bail Rick Tocchet out of making a what could have been a costly decision? Kuemper might not have even played game three.
Yeah, I think it's a fair question because he was a little shaky in game two. He was not razor sharp.
They got to him.
The second goal in particular, but they did get to him. So I think that's a really interesting thought. We'll never know. The psychological part is something, right? I think it's a shakeup to the team if you did decide to change to Pecorine. So we'll find out. On the D, I don't think we should talk too much about the third pair because essentially, if you look, they're playing four defensemen. They're only spotting the third pair unless they're ahead, unless they're way ahead.
Right.
Right. You're going to win or lose the game with your top four in game four, especially
like
with Tenorti no back-to-back.
Tenorti played 8.5 minutes yesterday. Weber played 5.5. 5.5 minutes. Not even.
Yeah. And essentially didn't play in the third period.
Yeah.
They were hardly out there. Tenorti will play on the penalty kill, and that's his extra time that he'll get. But 5-on-5, you're going to, as much as you can, roll the top four.
Yep. I mean, honestly, if you were really thinking about Shake, I mean, do you give, would it be like Holzer and Hamhuis? You know, what would you do? I mean, that's what I'm getting at. Like, what do you really do? I don't believe it's going to come in between the pipes. And so you're not going to mess with the first line because we've seen, you're not going to slide Forsberg down or Arvidsson down to the second line to spark that line because you're not going to mess with the first line. So for all the people that are saying change, 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 okay, what are you doing? Tell us what you're doing. Who are you taking out? Who are you putting in, and why? Like, that's what I want to know.
Well, let's
make yourself a coach.
Maybe let's hear from some fans. Let's see what they want to do. What would they do, coach listener? Tell us what tweaks you would make.
Like, tell
that
us.
Fair?
Like, put yourself.
I do. I would
in
want to
coach's
hear.
Shoes. Like, you got to make the decision.
737-1025. Call us.
You know, writing it on a tweet, it's a lot easier than call in and tell us you're the coach. Make the move. Tell us what the moves are. And why? 615-737-1025. 737-1025. We'll come back, get some of your reaction on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Don't forget, we've got a very important announcement. Very important. You can listen to us anywhere in the world. I don't know if you knew that or not, but anywhere in the world. All you have to do is download the Game Nashville app. That's free and easy to do. Or you can enable Alexa Skill or Google Home if you've got that set up in your home or office like I do. And you just ask it to play 102.5 The Game. Or you can live stream from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. Okay, we've asked you to be the coach. We've asked you, what would you do? And your answer could be nothing to the roster. What change would you make or changes would you make for game four? And I'll tell you what we'll do. Guys, we will throw an incentive into this. Okay, we'll sweeten the pot, as they say. And we'll sweeten the pot by saying the best call before we get out of here this hour, because we've got Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock. We'll give you a family four-pack of tickets to Soaky Mountain Water Park, which is a brand-new 50-acre water park there in Pigeon Forge. It's right next to Wilderness Lodge. Chase and I have seen it. It is massive. It's a huge, brand-new water park with a new wave pool and lazy rivers and tube rides, and they've got even kid-friendly activity pools. It's fantastic. And, oh, by the way, they've got season passes as they are open. But we will give you an incentive to get involved. And like I said, we've seen it. It is gigantic. Looks like a really cool water park. We'll give you a family four-pack. But you're going to have to get involved, and you're going to have to play coach. Tell us what you would do going into game four. What's your change or changes? Or are you just going to stand pat with what's been trotted out there the first three games? 615-737-1025. 737-1025. What would you do? Let's start with Coach Bob in Antioch. Coach Bob, what would you do?
I would stand pat because it's still, I mean, I know it's the last potential elimination game, but it's also still very early in the relative scheme of things as far as playoffs go. And you've got to go with your best. And I think that what they're rolling out there is their best. I've got a question for you guys. Do you, if Predators don't win, they get eliminated, and you're going to hear discussions about changes. To me, their core group has gotten as good as it can get. Their whole team has. So how much do you think that they could get much better? And if they ultimately make a run this year or next year, do you think it's just going to be, well, they all got hot at the right time? Do you think that their core group is good enough to make a deep run either this year or next year? Or do you think that the core group has pretty much reached its peak and might be starting to be on the backside? I'll listen out there.
Thank you, Coach Bob. So Coach Bob says stand pat for game four. Down 2-1 in the series, stand pat, put out your best, and see what happens. I will answer for me. And I'm not going to answer for you.
Let's also say we need more than Coach Bob. We need other coaches and other viewers, observers. I want to hear some opinions from people today. This is big. You're down to your last strike. These are important decisions. I want to hear what some people today. 615-737-1025. Hit the phones. We got open lines. We got a prize for you. I mean, what else do you need? You got incentives.
I was just
jump
saying,
in.
If that doesn't get you going, I mean, all we're doing is asking you to call in and participate. And oh, by the way, you may win.
Like, I think
a
people
really,
are watching.
Really cool prize. By the way, those passes are like $50, so it's $200 to take your family just to get in.
Yeah, that's so legit. That's a legit prize.
It's a really legit prize.
And they're coming in now. We're
okay.
Getting loaded.
I mean,
up.
I don't know why we have to like give the rallying speech, but okay.
People
we did,
like hearing
it'll
from
work.
Coach Willie.
That's fine.
They like angry.
That's
Coach
fine.
Willie.
It works. It works. Look, I'm going to answer the second part, and you guys can answer it however you want, but I'm just going to speak for me. I'm holding off on, that talk until this run is over. Whenever this run is over, we know we'll have to have the end of the year discussion. Okay, what's next? What's the future? What do you do? But for now, I'm not going to have that discussion in the middle of a series. That's me personally.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in talking about what to do when this is over, because I don't want, I don't want to have that discussion until it's over. And right now they're in the middle of a series. So for me, I'm holding off on off-season talk until it's officially off-season.
Oh, 100%. Believe me, we're going to have plenty of time. And I would have to say that every year you're going to have changes. You also have expansion coming. This is an odd year for an off-season with the compression, the timing. So it's going to be very complicated no matter what. But I do think at this point, let's leave all that, because we're going to have plenty of time in the, when that time does come up. And how they do tomorrow and hopefully past tomorrow has a lot to do with the answer to that question, don't you think?
Yes. You have to compile everything, and we won't know everything until it's officially over, whenever that is.
It is. And it is clear, this team is built to win now.
Yep.
That's part of your answer. It's built to win now. So let's live in the now.
All right. We've got lines loaded with coaches. Let's go to Coach Paul. Coach Paul, what would you do for game four?
Oh, I'm making changes. Standing pat's not any fun. Let's make some changes.
What are you doing?
I want Austin Watson and Craig Smith to have a seat. They are out. Yakov Trenin and Colin Blackwell are in. That's change number one. Change number two, I think Juice has been dry. I think he's done a good job, but I'm putting Pecorine in. That guy does not want to end his career watching his team get bounced off of a play-in round on the Pine. He's got everything to prove. Not going back to him off the back end of a back-to-back has got to be sticking in his craw, even though he seems to be the greatest guy in the world. I think he goes out there and shuts him out completely.
Okay.
Got to put Pekka in the last game.
Coach Paul, one question before you leave.
I got it.
Is Trennan on the third line with Benito and Grimaldi, and Blackwell slides on the fourth line? What are you doing?
Oh, thank you so much, Darren. Thank you. That's change number three. The third line is now the second line. He is on the third line, but they are playing the minutes of the second line.
Oh,
and
so you're swapping.
I'm moving Duchesne Granlund down to the third until they make some noise. Then I might make a mid-game adjustment, but no. Benino, Yakov Trennan, and Rocco Grimaldi are pulling second line minutes.
Okay. Coach Paul with some thoughts. He's got thoughts. Paul, thank you for the call.
It's interesting.
Hey, thanks, guys.
It's a provocative call. I like Coach Paul. He wants to shake it up. I think it's fair to throw that out there. I would point out that the Benino line, money all year long, and I think Benino has played really well. I don't think Rocco Grimaldi and Craig Smith have played as well as they had played as a trio before. And I don't know that it's time to break that lineup because they've been so good together. Because remember going back, we said this, they have not really changed any line combinations from the start of camp until now. So they haven't practiced with anybody else. That's something to think about.
But creativity for Coach Paul, there was some thought put into that call.
Yeah.
Mark him down. Put thought into
he's
it.
A contender.
He's a contender. Yeah. Get the number. I wouldn't. I remember when you used to say that. I don't know if I'd pull Craig Smith out completely, though. That's my only disagreement.
You got to stick with him.
But good stuff by Paul.
But still, we asked for you to be the coach, and you put your stamp on it. And I thought Paul brought it. We don't have to agree with it, but I did like him thinking through that. Okay, let's go to the next coach. Coach Eric is up next. Coach Eric, what would you do?
Oh, Eric has left the building.
Coach Eric has left. I guess they had a meeting. Coach Eric had to jump into a meeting. So let's go to Coach Roman. Coach Roman,
hey,
what would you do?
How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Not yours.
Doing good. So, there's not too much to be done with the lineup. I know you guys are saying Preds are built for this but if you look at all the other teams, they're not as deep. They don't have the second line scoring that you like to see from a lot of the other teams. Even third line scoring. I know it's the energy line. Benino finally throws one home. He's working as hard as he can. Grimaldi is too. But I think one thing we got to do, Watson, doesn't seem like him and Hines are, on the same page. There might be something a little going on there. But I think Trennan, time to bring him in. Younger guy, got some energy, going to be flying around. And Preds, one thing they're definitely missing is their net front presence. You look at all these other teams in the playoffs right now, everyone's got bodies in front. There's crazy goals. I think it was McDavid threw one in from the corner the other day, just bounced off three guys. Even Arizona scores one from the point that goes off Duchesne's chest. So there just needs to be more body in front, more traffic. I think the other move is, besides our five top D-men, you got to give someone else a try. We can't have Tenorti's kind of a giant orange pylon out there. I don't know how you guys feel about him, but even just more experience back there, you got to bring in Hamuse, I think, is the way to go there. Goaltending-wise, not sure how you guys feel, but I keep hearing people saying this is Pekka's last year, but I don't know where people think Pekka's going. He's not going to get taken in the expansion draft if they take Pekka. That's a little crazy. There's so many younger goalies.
Well, the expansion draft isn't this year, so that's not a concern now.
Yeah,
and he does have one more year on his contract. He's under contract for the
Predators
this year.
Yeah, like I hear people saying Seattle's going to take him. It's like if Seattle takes him, that's such a waste of a pick. They're going to take Ekholm or one of the D we can't protect and then get Murray or Jari or someone like that from Pittsburgh. They're not going to take Pekka. He's not going to be in Seattle. He'll either stay here or go somewhere else, but it won't be Seattle. But
all right, so Coach Roman, let's recap your adjustments for Game 4 again.
Yep. Yeah.
Guys, so you've got Hamuse and Weber as the third D pairing?
No, Hamuse. I would do Hamuse. Maybe I like splitting the Josi and Ellis up. I like maybe
that,
Hamuse
that ain't
and Ellis. Yeah, I know. But it's over. then we can't run three D pairs. Then we're exhausting those two, and Hamuse will just the fifth guy will just kind of sit there and get a few ice minutes. But I think just for the depth, these teams are too deep for us to just stack one or two lines. It's got to be deeper. And that's the thing. That's the other thing I was going to say. Duchesne, I don't think Duchesne and Turris should be anywhere near a line together. Those two guys are not going to sit in front of the net, which is what the Preds need right now. And you can't have two guys not in front of the net and then the third guy who knows where he'll be.
So Trennan in for
Watson. I think
Watson.
He's hit on something with that last
Is that
thing.
What you said?
I do think splitting Duchesne and Turris might be something in the cards here.
Okay. All right, Coach yeah. Roman. Thank you. Appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, thank you. Go Preds.
All right.
I agree with that, Willie, on splitting
maybe,
those
maybe
two.
a little more thump with Duchesne and Granlund, maybe.
Yeah.
But that's just something to consider.
Okay, but what are you doing, though? How are you splitting them? I remember I told you the easy thing would just say, we've seen the split and Turris slides. That you're gonna, where are you sliding? Who's sliding where?
I think staying pat is not the worst idea. But if I were to make a switch, what I think I would do would be, I think I would switch Turris down and move somebody up from Sissons' line, either Sissons or Yarncroke, very versatile guys, and try just a little different element with Duchesne and Granlund.
Okay, pick one. Coach, you got to pick one.
See, the problem is Yarncroke and Sissons haven't been great. I would go Yarncroke. I think I would.
Okay, that's what I would have. I would have probably.
Now that doesn't solve your crash. That's not much. If you want a little more crash, I think you go Sissons. A little more net front digging in there. You could try both. I don't know, but you could have Turris centering the fourth line, and they've had some games where Turris on the fourth line. That was more with Trennan than with Watson, but it was a line that worked at times. Remember Trennan, Blackwell, Turris, a couple of pretty good games on that fourth line under John Hines.
But we all three say if you were to do that, then you would slide Yarncroke up.
Yes.
That's where I was going with that. Okay. All right, we'll take one more break. We'll come back with some more coaches, another opportunity to get
some coaches.
Thoughts of what to do with Game 4. We've still got that family four-pack of tickets to Soquy Mountain Water Park there in Pigeon Forge, which is a brand-new 50-acre water park. It's fantastic. So we'll get more calls on the other side. 737-1025 next. Elliot Friedman at 1 o'clock. That'll be how we start the fourth and final hour. We started this hour with Predators General Manager David Poile from up in Edmonton. Now we're asking you to end the hour by playing coach. Tell us what you would do going into Game 4. Game 4 tomorrow, 12:30 pregame. I'll have that for you. And then 1:30, Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have puck drop and the call of Game 4 from Edmonton. It'll hear everything right here on 102.5 The Game. Let's go to Coach Chris. Coach Chris, what would you do?
Hey, guys. I wouldn't do anything. I'd stay with the lines they've got just purely because of the fact that you're playing with fire. They're up against the wall right now. And with the Preds, as we've seen over the past, few years, I mean, I think that what looks good on paper with making line changes does not equate immediately, to the ice. So I think you don't mess with it. The only thing I would do is that this next game, if Arizona goes into the second period with two on the board, and especially if the Preds have not scored, I'm pulling use and putting in Pecks. Otherwise, I wouldn't do a thing. So that's my call.
So you're saying you've got a short leash on goaltending play in an elimination game?
Yep.
Two goals is your limit?
Yep. In the first period, yep.
Okay,
but
two in the first.
Besides that, I think they're equally matched. Both heavily defensive teams. I think they're pretty equal on the forward side. So I just leave it as it is.
Okay. So. Coach Chris, thank you for the phone call.
Thanks, guys.
So he stands pat, but he says short leash on goaltending play, two goals in the first period. So there
One thing that David Poile said that jumped out to me, he anticipates, it very well could be the game you have to win 2-1. And that is where it was going yesterday before, things kind of unraveled on the Predators. I think the Predators could have won the game 2-1 or maybe 3-1 with an empty net goal. I think it's going to be a game like that unless Darcy Kuemper drops off, and you can't expect that. You're going to have to claw and scratch for goals. It's just the way Arizona is going to play. I would anticipate the game flow going similar and goals would be hard to come by.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to try and get in his head. One thing I will address, and I know that we're having fun, we're being creative here, but you know, because I've seen some tweets and we had a call, but I'll use Craig Smith as an example. Has he played his best through the first three games? No, absolutely not.
Definitely not.
But that line as a whole, you know, they have shown where they can be effective. But everybody wants to just be quick to say, oh, sit him, scratch him. If you look at a guy that has been consistently in the lineup all year long and has brought you some production and has been successful, yes, I understand that it's a win or go home game, but I don't think just sitting a guy is really the way to go. And that applies to Matt Duchene. Everybody that's saying scratch Duchene, that does nothing for you. So
Duchene is not getting scratched. I mean, that is right. not even under consideration.
It's silly for people to even throw those notions out. Now, Watson's different because Blackwell and Watson have been interchangeable this year. That has actually been a move. And I'm not saying that just because it's the way they've done it this year is the way they need to do it now, but you can't – I mean, Craig Smith, Matt Duchene, they are important pieces for this team, and while they're not playing the way that they should be right now, that doesn't mean that you just all of a sudden put them in the press box and they don't play.
Speaking of that, let's go to Coach Craig. Coach Craig, what would you do in game
Smitty,
four?
That you?
Hey, how are y'all doing today?
Good, how are you?
Not bad. So I would do a couple things. One, I know y'all been saying not to break up the Bonino line, but I would move Duchene and Bonino. So move Bonino up to Calturas and Grenlin and move Duchene down to Craig Smith and Grimaldi just to shake it up a little bit. You know, Duchene's a pretty hard player. He's made a couple mistakes, but he has quite a few shots on goal. Then I'd probably move I can't do anything else. Because line one, they've been outstanding. I felt bad for Kemper in that first period. But thank y'all.
How about this?
All right, thank you, Coach.
How about this,
Greg?
Coaches?
So he says swap Duchene and Bonino. Third line centerman.
I just Bonino is such the rock solid third line center. What about this move, guys? Colton Sissons, experienced playoff guy. Rocco Grimaldi had a really good series last year against Dallas. He has not looked that threatening right now. Would you agree?
Well, certainly He's not having the series he did last year against Dallas.
Right. Well, the hard thing would be to break up that line, which has been their most consistent line all year. But this is 4 months later. You got, as John Hines used the term, today's news. How about this? Jofa, obviously. Yarncroke, Duchene, Granlund. Sissons, Bonino, Smith. And then the fourth line of, if you want to shake it up, a Blackwell, a Trennan, or you could stay with Grimaldi and go with Turris and Watson on that fourth line. What about the key move being you put Yarncroke on the second line, and then you have Sissons with Bonino and Smith?
I will say this. I don't think that's crazy at all. Nothing has really been said about this. You touched on Granlund. I haven't been impressed with Granlund's play as much as everybody else. I don't know if impressed is the right word. I've been disappointed in his play. I do not think he has been very good in this series. In fact, he's hurt them with a couple bad penalties, or at least one in particular. For a guy that's, you know, knowing what this offseason is going to be, I expected more, and I've been underwhelmed by Granlund in the first three games.
They need more. You can't sit him, but you definitely
need
more.
No, I didn't say sit him, but I mean, if we're going to be shuffling things around, that's something I would consider.
You consider a shuffle.
Shuffling him down.
Shuffle down.
Shuffle down, yeah. Move him back.
Okay. Have we got any more coaches out
we
there?
Do.
We do.
Let's get Coach William. Coach William, what would you do?
Okay, so I'm going to phrase it like this. I'm not a hockey expert. By far, this is probably the least known sport by me, but I'm a former high school football coach, college football coach, and I have always been on the side of stay with who you trust.
Okay.
You put your coaching into them, you put your time into them, and at this point in a series, there's not enough time to find another you know, combinations or anything like that to see if you can spurn some improvement. Right now, you just have to trust in the players that you have in there and let them play. Trust in what you put in with your system and keep it moving. If you lose, you know you got moves to make in the offseason.
Okay. I like it.
I like that take.
William, thank you for the phone call.
I got one more thing, if I can.
Sure.
The only thing I would possibly say, let Rene play, and if he gets shell shocked like 2-0 in the first, 2-0 in the second, let's go back to SARS. Let's let the veteran try to dig us out of it. That's the only move I would probably think to do.
Coach William, I like it. Thank you for the phone call.
Thank you.
I think what makes this a great sports talk debate is you're down to your last strike. It's not a 7-game series. It's a 5-game series. So this is it. And the numbers to this point, it's only 3 games, but the numbers collectively over 3 games with the lineups that you've had are way in the Predators' favor. Way in the Predators' favor. It's just the little things that have hurt them and the goaltending of Kemper. So there is an argument to just roll with what you got because the numbers are so much in Nashville's favor. I think it would be different if you're sitting there down 2-1 and you've been outplayed. I don't think that's the way to say it. I don't think they've been heavily outplayed by any stretch.
Last one quickly. Coach Mark, what would you do? Is this Mark?
Yes.
Mark, go ahead.
Hey, the last caller pretty much took it from me. The only thing I want to change, I want to put Pekka Rinne in. I really don't want him to go out if Nashville ends up losing this game. I mean, for him not to play one single game in there, this is just really... I mean, UC Saros is good, but we really need Pekka Rinne in the net. And, you know...
And so that's it?
How about calling back Mike Fisher, you know, or maybe putting Morgana behind Kemper's the goal, you know, for some distraction against Arizona.
Well, nobody's allowed in the arena, though. That's the problem.
Well, that's the trouble with that. But, man,
that's a good point.
I'm pulling for Nashville to win this, you know.
Okay. Thank you for the phone call. So he says,
you're welcome, guys.
Hey, put Peck in. Put the vet in. Let him see some action.
It's tempting. And it has not. And it's not because of Saros' poor play.
You know that discussion is at least being had, right? I'm not saying it's going there, but they're at least talking about it.
Sure. Right. And he brought up Mike Fisher. Robbie Stanley texted me earlier and said, got to bring in Mike Fisher, right? Special call-up. Have him bring the cannon and clear out Arizona's power play.
Once again, they're not going to let the cannon in. They're just not. They're not going to let it into Rogers' place. All right, we'll come back. We'll start the fourth and final hour with Elliot Freeman. That's next.